listening to Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, and ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. 648-1051 is the number for the Hardee's Hotline. Hardee's has steakhouse thick burgers, hand-breaded chicken tenders, natural-cut french fries, made-from-scratch biscuits, and other delicious options. Your local Hardee's restaurant is open for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Hardee's, the official hotline sponsor here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. And it's a pleasure to welcome, as we do this time of year in early May, Barry Abrams, the host of the In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com. It's Kentucky Derby week. Barry, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Oh, great, guys. How are you?
Great. Welcome back. I wanted to get your take on just generally the state of the sport. I mean, there were some numbers last year as far as TV ratings and money that was being wagered on thoroughbred racing that said that American Pharoah definitely had a positive bump for the sport. But when you come to this Derby, there's not the huge storyline of a first Triple Crown winner since Affirmed. So I was just kind of curious, what did American Pharoah mean to this sport, and especially coming into this race?
Well, I think that's hard to quantify, because what effect he could have is to bring people who don't normally watch the sport in as, let's say, owners or as horse players, where they might say, you know, maybe not even so much as horse players, but as owners, where you say, you know, I can't own the Dallas Cowboys, I can't own the Los Angeles Lakers, but I could own that horse. And quite a few Kentucky Derby winners over the years didn't cost a fortune of money. Real Quiet only cost $17,000. Seattle Slough cost about $17,000. Triple Crown winner. So it's going to be hard to quantify unless you get every single person across the country who has benefited from that effect to call up and register and say, I'm now in the sport because American Pharoah, blah, blah, blah. So it's hard to quantify, but that to me would be the way that he could have a positive effect on the sport.
All right, you look at this year's race. You look at Saturday's race. Nyquist is the favorite. Got a favorable post yesterday. Are you in that camp that he is your clear-cut favorite?
No, not even a little. He certainly has checked every box. And he checks a lot of them. He's won on both coasts. He's won on wet tracks. He's won on dry tracks. He has, you know, obviously won every one of his starts. And he also has won both from running up front with the early leaders and from coming a little farther back. Those are all good benefit, you know, good things to have. Where I have a lot of pause with him is mainly in his breeding. His sire, his father, is a horse named Uncle Mo, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and two-year-old championship back in 2010. He has his first group of children now reaching the racing age, reaching 3 years old, and three of them are in this race: Nyquist, Mo Tom, and Outwork. But Uncle Mo got hurt before he had a chance to run in the Kentucky Derby and never won a race longer than a mile. This is a mile and a quarter, which is a big difference. So there's no gauge on what his progeny can do. If you look on his mother's side, there's a lot of sprinting in there, shorter distance races, three-quarters of a mile, seven-eighths of a mile. Not doesn't scream mile and a quarter. Now, there have been Kentucky Derby winners over the years with pedigrees that also didn't scream mile and a quarter on dirt, but that's one thing that gives me pause with him. I also think, and it's just a gut, there's no number to back this up, I think he's peaked. I think this is the best he is. Remember, three-year-olds in the spring are like teenagers, and we all know that teenagers, let's say from freshman to sophomore year of high school, they sprout up. I think there are others who are peaking now, where he has already peaked and you've seen the best of him. I think there are others you have not yet seen the best of.
All right, go ahead and give us a couple of those in.
Well, one of them I think is Exaggerator, who's been pretty good, and he goes from the 11 also a horse that is based in California, been very consistent, has the best power number. These horses all get assigned power numbers based on the race, the track, the conditions, the everything, to try to, you know, equalize everybody and matching them up. And for all of the races that were run at a mile and an eighth, the longest distance they could run before the Kentucky Derby, he has the best power number of any mile and an eighth race. If you go two starts back, not that he won the Santa Anita Derby his last time out, if you go to the start before that, also at California, he had every chance to win at the top of the stretch and flattened out. That gives me some pause there. But he, too, checks a lot of boxes. His breeding is magnificent, and he's very consistent. So, to me, the horse to beat here is not Nyquist, it's Exaggerator, who goes from the 11 post, and I think he's peaking right now.
You're listening to Barry Abrams, the host of In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com. You're listening to him now on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Barry, I got to say, I love your area. I love your level of expertise. I'm going to ask you a personal preference, though. I mean, you talk about mommies and daddies of these horses, and then you break down numbers. Would you say you're more of a family horse snob or more of a horse analytics guy?
An analytics guy at the risk of sounding too much like a stat geek from basketball or baseball or something like that. I think those kinds of things have been in horse racing a heck of a lot longer than they've been in the stick and ball sports, for sure. That's the lifeblood, is going through past performances and stuff like that. The other thing to keep in mind here is every horse is considered 3 years old starting January 1st, or 2 years old, or whatever age they are. But that's not exactly when they're born. Exaggerator was born in February, where Nyquist was born in March, and the horse right next to him, the also highly regarded Mohamed, was born in May. That makes a difference. Exaggerator is a bit more physically filled out than some of these other horses. And another thing to keep in mind, which sounds very esoteric, but the numbers are striking. You know, a father, can father, you know, 150 to 200 horses a year.
If he's lucky. And if he's got a lot of game.
Right, if he's got a lot of game.
Right.
And a lot of suitors.
Right.
But a mare, of course, can only have one foal a year. And so it's a good indication of how many foals the mare has had over the course of her life to determine success. In other words, a mare that is having her first or second foal, or didn't have one the year before this one was born, those horses do best. If you're talking about a mare who's been, you know, who's gone through the pregnancy cycle five or six times in a row, those later horses don't do very well. Now, a horse, Nyquist, I believe, is a third foal. So that also gives me some pause. That's getting very deep in horsey. But it matters when it determines who you think is going to win this race. Now, Mohamed, Exaggerator, I believe they are either a first or a second foal, both of them. So, to me, they have a better chance to win this race than the favorites. If you want to make some money, get cracking.
I want to ask you about that. How much would your sport benefit by if they started legalizing gambling the way the conversation is talking about legalizing marijuana?
Well, you can gamble on horse racing in 38 states, so I don't know that it's necessarily illegal. What they haven't done a very good job of is marketing it.
No, that's fair. It's pretty difficult to figure out how to bet on Saturday's race if you're sitting in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right, no doubt about it. It's not an easy entry, and that's unfortunate that the sport doesn't have a structure like the stick and ball sports, where there's a commissioner's office and there's a league and there's a central voice to do all of this. Racing in this country, not in every country, but in this country, has basically been left to the states. The individual states have their own little fiefdoms, their own little regulatory bodies, and there's no one voice. There's a marketing voice, but there's no voice with teeth. You have the jockey club and others like that, but there's no unified voice to say we all need to do this the same way, make it easy for everybody, and so on and so on. And that's the biggest thing that's holding this sport back. Because really, think about it. You can watch a race on your phone. You can bet on your phone. And this exists legally in just about every state in this country. You can't bet on the NFL legally on your phone in every state in the country. So to me, horse racing should have the ultimate edge. It's built right in, but they don't know how to market it.
You're listening to Barry Abrams, the host of In the Gate podcast on ESPN.com. You're listening to him here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Barry, we always have you on. Of course, last year we had you on a couple of times during the Triple Crown run, but we never have you on at the end of the year. I was kind of curious. American Pharoah was up for the Athlete of the Year. When you think of like Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth, Serena Williams, what is your take on that? I mean, I think when it was all said and done, and I may be mistaken, but it seemed like most of the major outlets went with somebody else for an Athlete of the Year. Should American Pharoah and should a horse be considered for Athlete of the Year in a lot of these publications?
Well, I mean, we cover this stuff on ESPN, so we consider it something of an athletic feat. I think the tougher question would be, and it's inevitable down the line, what about somebody involved in esports, you know, in video game competition? And you see that these competitions sell out places like Madison Square Garden in New York for these video game competitions. Are they athletes? Do you consider that a sport? Should they be considered for Athlete of the Year? That one's a little tougher, but at least when you're talking about a horse, you're talking about flesh and blood exerting, you know, a great degree of physicality. Obviously, I'm a little biased. I'm going to say that they are athletes and that American Pharoah was justly considered for that. But I think the bigger question is going to eventually come with esports, and it's happening. I mean, the esports phenomenon is to the point now where we have a site dedicated to it on ESPN.com. Are they athletes? I'll leave that to you.
All right, Barry, when we have guests like you, you know how to play. We love playing rapid fire, first thing off the top of the head. Ready to go?
Go for it.
All right. Who is the long shot that you like the most Saturday?
Mo Tom is going from the number four. Again, another son of Uncle Mo. Can Uncle Mo's children go a mile and a quarter? I don't know. But he had two awful trips in Louisiana. Got checked into the rail like a hockey player would, into the boards. And we just don't know what his best is. You want a long shot? There's one for you.
Do you believe in the betting theory that a horse going number two before the race is going to finish number one?
No. I think it's just like somebody who's nervous. If you're nervous, you're not going to perform well.
Favorite horse racing movie?
Seabiscuit.
Better horse phrase, horseradish or horsepower?
Horsepower.
The horse that just absolutely had you in awe?
Rachel Alexandra. The filly who beat the boys three times in 2009, including older males in the Woodward. If you look on YouTube for the 2009 Woodward Stakes, you may want to fasten your seatbelt.
And quickly, as quick as you can, if you had to come up a Rushmore of horses, whose four long faces are on the mountain?
Man of War, greatest horse of all time, Secretariat, American Pharoah, and if I have to have a fourth, it might be Rachel Alexandra.
Wow. Good stuff, Barry. As always, we thank you so much. We're certainly looking forward to the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. And we thank you, as always, for joining us here on Press Row.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
All right. You too. Barry Abrams of ESPN does the In the Gate podcast. We appreciate him always joining us. We'll reopen the Hardys Hotline. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.